The joy of the Lord is our strength. And in his presence is fullness of joy. 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 Oh, the joy. Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, would you read it with me? It says, in the beginning God created what? The heavens and the earth. So we know that the first thing he created was time. Does everybody understand that? That's why it says, in the beginning. So he had to take something out of eternal and put it in a place where there was a beginning and an end. That's what he called time. That's what we're in the universe. It's all in time. And in this period of time, he did creation. See, God is much bigger than what we can imagine. He not only created time, he's a holder of time. He says he's the Alpha and the Omega. Amen. The beginning and the end. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. This is so phenomenal. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, was hovering over the face of the water. Because the Holy Spirit is the connector. He's the connector of everything. Everyone say, I'm connected. He is the connector to humanity. Without the Holy Spirit, you and I can do nothing. We're weak in our flesh. We're misled by our feelings and emotions. And we're easily deceived and manipulated. And that's one of the things that lacks so much in the body of Christ is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because we're to be connected. Now, we've spoke about the Holy Spirit multiple times, but the Holy Spirit, in fact, I had revelation about all the stuff I thought I was going to speak about today, and that was last night, and then this morning I got up and I said, all of a sudden, boom, the connector. Okay, so we're doing the connector today. Go to John chapter 1. In verse 1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. Verse 14. And the Word became what? Flesh, and dwelt among us, and we held his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, which is God's plan. It's not some magical thing that says I can do anything I want and be saved. It's full of grace, God's plan. It's the plan of escape. Amen? And truth. So Jesus was manifested in the physical realm. The Word was manifested in the physical realm, given the name of Jesus, and it was full of God's plan for escape for humanity with truth. Amen? All right. Verse 15. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Hallelujah. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In 1 John chapter 5, please, in verse 6. So God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, was waiting to connect with humanity. his new, that wasn't even created yet. Oh, happy days. Verse 6, let's speak it. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now, this next verse is powerful because it lets us know he is the connector. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. So if you put them in, the Father is the highest, the Word, and then the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you go in reverse, it's Holy Spirit, the Word, and the Father. Watch this now. These are three witnesses where? In heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these are what? They're one. Father, Word, Holy Spirit. Okay, verse 8. And there are three that bear witness on the earth. The Spirit. Now, why is he mentioned the Spirit first? Because he's the connector. Spirit to Spirit. The water and the blood. And these three agree as, they agree as what? One. Woohoo. If we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He does not believe God has not made him a liar. Because he has not believed the testimony of God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life. And this is life in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Again, it is the Holy Spirit who is the connector. He's the what? The Holy Spirit is the connector between the temporary and the eternal. Two different realities. Luke 3, verse 21. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was what? Opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And the voice came from heaven, which said, "You are my beloved Son. In you, I am what? I'm well pleased." Now, Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age. And I'm not going to go through all of these names. But again, Jesus' ministry began when he was about 30 years of age. So the Word that became flesh was on the earth. He didn't go out and cast devils out. He didn't lay hands on the sick. He didn't do anything for almost 30 years until the Spirit of God came upon him like a dove. Why? Because he got connected. Does everybody understand why the Holy Spirit is the connector? That's why, again, when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the seed of God comes in. I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit isn't there, but there's a difference between the power and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And just the seed. And it's not until the Holy Spirit comes over and bursts that seed of Christ in you to where you become a new, true, real creation. Where you get a new language. It's a heavenly language. Now, this has nothing to do with salvation. So everybody understand that. But it sure makes it a lot easier to have the power and the anointing of God to be connected. Because when you're fighting the devil, there's a difference between throwing seeds in them and becoming a sword. And without the anointing and the backing of the Holy Spirit, you're nothing but seed. That's why we're supposed to be the sword of the Spirit. So how do we access the other side? Through what you speak. Breath, 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 breath. That's what connects the other side. The Holy Spirit is the what? The connector. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, like the dove, connected to the Word of God in the temporary connected him to the eternal realm of reality. He was the anointed word who became physical, but he did not was not anointed until the Spirit was upon him, because the Spirit of God connects me and you. These are the things that should be preached right from the beginning, as soon as someone gets born again. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Then Jesus was, okay, here's Jesus, the Word became flesh, the Spirit of God comes upon him, amen? Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. God was not going to send the Word to go fight the devil while backing of heaven and the anointing, the Holy Spirit. And so many people go out there and try, listen, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not against anyone going out and declaring Christ's goodness, because he is good. But I can tell you right now that many people run from casting out a devil. I'll never forget a testimony from John Hagee. He said he got a call to his office. Now, he's a sweet man of God, man. But before he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, he said he got called from somebody in his congregation. He went over there, and he was with someone, and he said this woman manifested, and it was a demon. He said if he wasn't there, if he was there by himself, he'd have made a whole brand new door in that house. But at least he was honest. It wasn't until he got baptized with the Holy Ghost, you know, where things changed. And I hear wonderful testimonies of Baptist preachers and people that weren't baptized with the Holy Ghost. I don't know if you can be a Baptist preacher and not be baptized in the Holy Ghost, but anyways, it happens that way. I'm still looking for the first Baptist church. But in this, when they get baptized in the Holy Spirit, man, they're on fire. But how many years they've missed it? I mean, they can talk about the Holy Spirit, but never get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that's the big difference. Because there is a process to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you must have a desire. You must believe. And in our prayer booklet, our warrior's handbook, there's a prayer to pray to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And there are certain things that the Holy Spirit doesn't baptize people in, because there's still too many things they haven't repented from. Remember, the blood goes before the Spirit. And if there's still things not cleaned by the blood, the Holy Spirit ain't coming. Hallelujah. Okay, verse 2. So Jesus went out. He was led by the Spirit to be baptized, to be tempted by the devil. Not many people want to be tempted by the devil. You're tempted every day. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Remember, the devil, the first thing he tries to steal is what? Your identity. That's the first thing. If he can get you to compromise your identity, he's got access. But he answered and said to him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceed from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him again, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now, the devil didn't get that he was God. He was telling him, you're tempting me. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. And again, the devil took him up in an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Now, you got to remember, the devil's the author of all lies and deception. So he really wasn't going to give him nothing. Jesus knew it, and he wasn't going to worship him anyways. Amen? Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to Jesus. Now, again, he wasn't lying that he was the ruler of the earth, because he still is the ruler of the earth. But all of his stuff is getting exposed now. All of his servants, all the offsprings of Lucifer, and all the offsprings of the fallen angels, and the Nephilim and Rephilim and demons, they're all getting exposed now. They've been hiding out on human hosts and hiding out in accursed items in all kinds of locations globally. They're being exposed because the glory of God is being revealed more and more. And God's glory is going to expose darkness. But in this, God is drawing mankind unto him more. People are awakening. Amen? But they got to get connected. They got to get connected to the connector so they can live in this reality, because it's false. So then they live from the future to the present. Even though they're living in a false reality, their reality is true. It's real. Because you know who you are. You got a new identity. You got a new DNA. You're born of the spirit, not of the world anymore. You're not of this place. You're just hanging out, doing God's work, doing his bidding, laboring unto him until it's time to go home. But this is no longer our home. And too many people are making this their home. This ain't my home. I'm looking forward to going home. But in the meantime, I got a job to do. And in it, we must be the witness in preparation now for the other two witnesses to come, because they're waiting. Hallelujah. I'm waiting for the parachute out any plane right now. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 36, verse 23, please. "And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord God, the Lord." When I'm what? Hallowed, honored, respected, reverence in you before their eyes. Well, how are they going to do this? He's got to place his presence in them. "For I'll take you from among the nations, gather you out of the countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. And I will give you a what? New heart, and put a new spirit within you. And I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them." That was prophesied by Ezekiel. But that wasn't going to happen until the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Amen? "Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God." Wow. "And I will deliver you from all of your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and increase your fields so that you need never again to bear the reproach of famine among the nations." So powerful. This is prophetic. "I will put my spirit in you. I'll give you a new one." What? I'm going to cause you or enforce you to be led by my spirit. I'm going to cause you, because you're going to want to do the right thing. You're going to know what's clean, unclean. You're going to know what's holy and unholy. You're going to know what's right and wrong, what's unrighteous. You're going to know what's fake, false, and what's truth. You're going to know what's real and not real. And you'll be able to discern not only by the fruit of each and every one and everything, because the fruit is a person's desire. You'll know by desires of individuals. How many times you run across people, what's the most, you know, the most thing they talk about? You know, you'll know where they're coming from. That's how you're going to know them. Again, in this, God is trying to introduce humanity to the connector to him, the connector to his love, the connector to his presence. So every time we gather to worship, we're just being reconnected again. We're getting refreshed to the connector. And we want more of him and less of us. Hallelujah. Let's go to Ezekiel 37. It's the next one over. In verse 1. And the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, Oh God, you know. Because he didn't know. He couldn't answer God. It was a wise answer. Only you know, God. And again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Oh dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and breathe, bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, and O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, and an exceedingly what? Great army. And he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the house of the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from the graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I am opened, when I open your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I'll place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord God. Now remember when Jesus was crucified, right? And then he, and on resurrection day, what happened? Remember, the graves are open. And then when he rose from the dead, these people came out of their graves. And let me tell you, they were filled with the Spirit of God. And they went into the city and they witnessed all of these people. They got to see their families and everyone. Everyone was like, man, you were dead. But remember, these were, but the ones that rose were part of Jesus' ministry when he was there. They were the ones who accepted Jesus while he was there. These are not patriarchs or anything like that. These were individuals during Jesus' three-year ministry that rose from the dead. But again, we know that this is going to happen again. Amen. The rapture, what does the Bible say? That those in the grave will be raised. Hallelujah. The breath is the Holy Spirit, the connector of the true reality. Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. Now, you know, they were all gathered together in the upper room, and God poured out his Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and they were all drunk in the Spirit, having a good old time. And they began to pray in tongues, and the tongues of fire came upon them. And they were speaking multiple languages because they were declaring the goodness of God, because everybody was there gathered together on the day of Pentecost of all certain places, different languages. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to the men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is early the third hour of the day. It's only the third hour. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says the Lord, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall what? Prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Now, we know that there's blood moons. We know that people, God's already pouring out his spirit. People are prophesying. You know, I was never prepared for the visitation from the Lord and getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. I wasn't prepared for any of that. I was just told to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't have anyone to mentor me or anything to that degree. But after my visitation from the Lord and taken multiple times and just now I called the Holy Spirit buddy because he was my best friend. He was the connector. I didn't know anything. And he began to teach me. And I began to have dreams and visions like crazy. I saw the Lord's return. I was taken to the other realm, other side multiple times. And it was just amazing to me. And then one day, you know, it was like the Lord said. I said, well, you know, I've heard about all these people having mentors and stuff. And I'm like, where's mine? And the Holy Spirit rebuked me and said, I'm your mentor. You don't need man to mentor you. I will mentor you. So I used to spend hours a day with the Holy Spirit. I would pray in the morning, go to morning prayers. I would spend hours. You can ask my wife. I would spend hours in a day. I didn't want anything to do with nothing. I didn't want gold. I didn't want silver. I didn't want money. I didn't want nothing. I just wanted to be in the presence of God because that was the most fulfilling thing I've ever had in my life. I was fulfilled. I was ready to go home. I thought I was going home. Well, I kind of did go home in a way, but I wasn't allowed to stay. But there was a mission and a purpose God had for me. But he wanted me to be connected. And he wants all of us to be connected and stay connected. Because that's what the problem is. People get disconnected. And then they lose sight of what their purpose is and their calling is. And they try to look for fulfillment through the world and money and worldly things. Instead of getting back connected again. And that's my prayer every single day. Lord, reconnect me. Please reconnect me again today. I don't want to be disconnected. Hallelujah. Oh, let's go a little further. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12. See, you can fall back right into religion or never come out of it without being connected. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ, the Anointed One. But even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now he tells you who the Lord is. Now the Lord is the what? That's so amazing. The Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty or freedom. But we all with unveiled face behold it in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So when one turns to the Spirit, gets baptized in the Holy Spirit, the blinders are removed And they're connected. And they're what? Connected. That a connection is made. Same thing, the wonderful example is Saul, who became Paul when he was riding on his Harley horse. He was on his way to Damascus to do more damage to the body. And the Lord had to slap him right off of his horse. And he blinded him. But he was already blinded. Does everybody understand? He was already blinded. God was just showing Saul, he was blinded. And then when Ananias came in, because the Lord told him to go there, Ananias really didn't want to go over there and lay hands on Saul. But he obeyed God. But the Lord said, I've chosen him to be a vessel for me, and he will suffer many things. And when Ananias laid hands on him, the scales came off. But Paul got baptized in the Holy Ghost when Ananias laid hands on him. Speaking in tongues, the scale came off, and Saul, who became Paul, got connected. And look at the wonderful things that God used this man for. Even though his end of his life was torturous, but he tortured many people, didn't he? But what a witness and such revelation he got from God. And he kept telling people that these are revelations from God. See, when you get connected, you get revelation. You begin to discern God's voice by not what he speaks, but what he impresses. It's different. See, people that are religious, they don't have that. They got to have it tangible, written for them to understand. I mean, they may know what good is and what bad is and so forth, but there's a difference of being led by the Spirit of God and not being led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his what? So if you're not connected by the Holy Spirit, then you're not going to get these things. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. You're not going to get the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of the man except for the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except for the Spirit of God. And again, if you go back to the tabernacle, the three chambers, because everything revolves around that and the feast, the outer court is salvation. That's where a seed was accepted as salvation. The holy place is where the seed is brought into and birthed by the Holy Spirit. That's priesthood. And then you go into the third chamber where the anointing is, and you become a warrior. So many people are living out in the outer court, which is the first chamber. And before the outer court is outer darkness. So that's why they go back and forth, because they don't have enough power to overcome the influence from the outer court, from the outer darkness. But you and I are to live in a holy place, in the most holy place. That's where we're to be living. Okay, verse 12. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. How are you going to know them? You got to be connected. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the what? Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, the mind of the Spirit? But we have the mind of Christ. Hello, deep things of God by the Spirit. John chapter 14 and verse 25. Jesus is speaking, verse 25, and he says, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things."
Woohoo!
"And bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. And arise, let us go from here." So again, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. The whole thing is that so many people are so anxious, they can't wait. They can't wait to be led by the Spirit. They walk in fear. They got to do this. And let me tell you, you remember Martha and, what's her name, Mary? Martha and Mary with the Lord. The one was sitting at his feet, and then one was busy cooking, preparing, working for Jesus. He said, man, so they complained, "Why isn't my sister helping me?" And he said, "Well, your sister is doing the right thing. She's at my feet. You're being misled. You're being busy. And you're going to miss." See, so many people miss divine opportunities because they're so busy. You can be too busy serving God. I don't know if I explained to you about a brother that was listening to his testimony. And man, he goes all over the world he went to this one place, and he was finding out all of the stuff with all the Nephilims and cursed items and this and that and whatever. And he came home, and he got under oppression for almost 4 years. And he still was doing the whatever, and he kept asking the Lord, why? And the Lord said, "Because I never sent you to that place. When you go out without me, you're not protected by me." And it's like, wow. So that's why we want to be led, not misled. We want to make sure that everything we're doing is according to what the Spirit is sending us. And if you don't know what to do, what do? Nothing. You wait. But the devil will come and push you. Push, 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 push. He loves to push. He's a pusher from the beginning. But I'm telling you, if you just wait on the Lord, he'll come and take you where you need to go, direct you where you need to go, and he'll confirm it in every area. Hallelujah. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. I know some of us have been waiting a long time. We're always in wait. We live a life of wait. When God answers one thing, you're waiting on the other thing. That's just the way it is. Romans 8:12. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God," these are what? These are what? "Sons of God." Yes, they are. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together." Powerful. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. Acts 3, verse 17. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did these things in ignorance, and as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of his prophets that Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you beforehand, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. Again, so repentance. Repentance activates the blood. It allows the spirit to come back. Amen? Repentance. And again, the refreshing will come. What's that? The refreshing is refilling. So we can maintain an area of connection. We want to stay connected to the connector. Just remember, you're connected. Hallelujah. I used to be connected in the world, but it was to the wrong things. Thank God, God disconnected me from the world and reconnected me to him. Now we're connected to the right things. Amen. And all things are going to work to the good if you're connected. No matter what's going on. No matter how many mistakes you make. No matter where you've been. No matter what you've done. Just stay connected, and God will work it to the good. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And we ask, Lord, to continue to reveal to humanity your goodness and the price of Jesus and the connection to the Holy Spirit that they may overcome the world. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen?